If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
God presents the supernatural possibility. Jesus presents the capability. And the Holy Spirit comes to give you the dream ability. You see, without Him, you could never dream that you could do these things. Do you understand how exciting it is to undergo the metamorphosis of supernatural change, to graduate from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, to see God for who He is and realize that you are called to that dynamic? Jesus said that's what the Holy Spirit has come to do. But it's not through gifts and it's not through tongues. It's through character. The fruit of the Spirit, the result of the Spirit, the result of the Spirit is love. That's it. Now, how does it manifest? Joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, and dependability. The ability to control what once ran you. Jesus says in Acts 1:8, there's another concept of the Holy Spirit's indwelling. Power. Why does he say that? That doesn't make sense. In Matthew 18, he says that you are going to receive power. That's interesting. You have this ability, or Matthew 28 rather, you have this ability to have power. And it's interesting because he says he gives his authority to us. All power in heaven and earth is given to me. And behold, I give unto you power. 28, he says, all power is given to me. And then he turns and says, I give you power. But the power there is authority. It's not dunamis, it's authority. It's the power of being a parent. When that child is born, you have authority. You have exousia. You are that child's parent. When you discipline that child, you move in dunamis. In Matthew's gospel, he promises us authority. And the authority should be enough to keep the devil at bay. Behold, I give unto you authority. And everything about Satan is under you from the authority. When a parent learns to walk in authority, they don't have to yell at their child. When you yell, it is the representation of you forfeiting your authority. You have reached now into panic, and you're looking for a way to keep that child in line. Did you hear what I said? And you can't yell with a godly face. You always have to break it up. It's got to look ugly. You got to put on your mean face. Why? Because you have lost your authority. And children love it when you lose your authority. Children are demonically impressed. Oh, yes, they push you. They push you to the breakdown and the absencing of your authority. They push you to it. They know how to push you. They push you until you break. And they know when you're broke because you start yelling and throwing stuff. And then you begin to speak according to Mark's gospel. You begin to speak those things and you begin to say those things which are coming to pass. You're going to kill me! You're driving me crazy. And the child just laughs. That's driving you crazy, huh? I'm going to kill you. Why is it that we have these moments of breakdown? Because we don't recognize our authority. See, our grandparents knew how to walk in authority. They could take seven children across the street without a rope. Today you see one parent have one child and they got a retractable string on that one child. Got it connected to little Tommy's belt. Tommy running all around the grocery store and she's yelling at him. He is falling out on the floor. She's yelling at him. But our grandparents, they would just look at you. And you straighten right up from a look. My mother would do that. She would be singing in the choir and my brother and I would be sitting on the second row and the seats were real hard and they were made of oak and they were real hard and you had on wool pants without lining so you get a little antsy. And so Gary and I would be, you know, hitting on each other and mama right in the middle of Amazing Grace, she'd shoot over her eye over to us and we straighten right up because that look, there's a look that tells you I love you. There's a look that says I'm with you and there's a look that says I'm going to bust your behind. Why? When you know who you are, you don't have to do all that yelling. You don't have, see, oh my God. And see, that's why half of us can't hear God, because he don't yell. That was Elijah's problem. Elijah thought God was in the thunder. He thought God was in the wind. He thought God was in the earthquake. But the Bible says when God spoke, he spoke in a voice that was still small, because you can't get God to lose his composure. He knows he's the boss. No matter how idiotic we act, he's never going to lose his love and his... Whew. David writes in the psalm, he said, his anger is but for a moment. Whew. This is a psalm of contrast. He writes and says that God's anger is but for a moment, but his mercy endures forever. Wow. Woo! Ooh, I'm preaching myself happy now. I told God I wasn't going to do this no more. Listen. When David writes this particular psalm, he's writing it on the heels of when God said to him, God said, don't number the people. And David said, I'm going to number them anyway because I have to see how many troops I have so that when people come to fight against me, what resources do I have? So David shifted his trust from God to what he could see. Are you hearing me? And so God said, I can't have you doing this. I need you to put your trust in me. So I've got to discipline you. But because I love you so much, I don't know what it was about David that God had a love Jones for David. I'm telling you, the man was a murderer. God just said, this is a man after my heart. Something wrong with that statement. God said, he's a man after my heart. God, are you schizophrenic? You're saying, thou shalt not kill, but you love a murderer. He said, all right, I ain't going to let you build the house, but I'm going to let you stay king. And so he said to David, I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to give you a choice of three judgments because I love you so much. He said, you can fall into the hands of your enemies. He said, I can send pestilence throughout the land. He said, oh, I can turn things around and you find that everything in your country just falls apart. And David said, I'd rather take the pestilence. God said, all right, for 3 days, I'm going to kill this entire land. I'm going to send pestilence. And David said, I'd rather fall into the hand of God than let men come after me again. David remembered how Saul tried to catch him, and he remembered how Saul pursued him. He said, man doesn't have any mercy, so I'm going to fall into the hand of God. And David saw how the angel of God came down and started tearing up the land with pestilence. But David didn't even have to pray because he knew the mercy of God. And God told the angel, stop. Right in the middle of the judgment. You know that you should not be here today. You know that our sins cause God to kill us. But right in the middle of our sin, mercy. And the Bible says where the pestilence stopped is where David said we're going to build the temple. Right where the pestilence stopped. What is he saying? I'm going to build God's place of worship right where mercy is demonstrated. You find where God has showed you mercy and give him praise. You find where God has showed you grace and give him praise. Hey! In Romans chapter 12, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and it's your logical service. Be not conformed to the world. The verb there is schistematizo. It means don't be poured into the world's mold and respond as the world responds. If someone wants to cut you off in the parking lot, let them. Don't get into an argument about a parking space. You're a child of God. But also don't take the Pentecostal mindset and say God's got a place closer. No, he might have one way at the end of the lot. He might want to teach you patience. He might want you to learn how it feels to walk from the other end of the parking lot. Because you know how we are. Praise God, that wasn't for me. God's got something better. And right away, we interpret better from a capitalistic mindset. But what's better to God isn't necessarily better to us. Amen. In other words, as you grow in God, as the Holy Spirit materializes the character of Christ in you more and more, you begin to respond to things with less physical or fleshly enthusiasm. Your feelings aren't hurt as much. Flies don't bother you as much. People are not as ingratiating when you reach your 50s. You shouldn't be arguing over parking spaces. What do you care? You don't cuss out security because there's no place in this lot. You go on down the street and get out and thank God you can walk. You thank God our church is in Montgomery County where you have a place to park. It might not be right in the door, but you thank God that you can still park safe. That Pookie ain't out there flattening your tires and breaking your glass. In other words, there's always something to be thankful for. If the doctor finds something wrong with your body, you don't complain. You thank God they found it. You thank God they found it so they can do something about it. Lord, I need somebody. David tries to teach this lesson. Holy Spirit driven, that we are not to look at flesh as our place of comfort, that God wants to be your resource. That's why God told David, don't number the people, because see, if you number them, you're going to shift your trust to the people. Throughout the Bible, God has stripped away your crutch. Gideon, 32,000. He winds up with 300. Jesus, crowds followed him. When he teaches relationship, many walked away. He's left with 12. He's subsequent to that, he's left with 11. Then when he's arrested, there's only one. There's two that follow. One follows from a distance, Peter, and one follows close, John. So he starts with 12, grows to thousands, ends up with 12, then ends up with 11. Judas walks off to betray him. Then after he's arrested, he ends up with one. Trouble is God's filtration system. Storms, God uses storms to blow off those people that don't have any meaning in your life. Our lives are filled with dead wood and small ships. I don't want small ships in my life. I want big dreamers. I want people who can see that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly. Oh, my God.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
09216P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Friday Night Explosion Services Part 3 continues on Friday, November 4th, 7 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. Come out and enjoy the presence of the Lord with high praise and spirited worship as Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. delivers a powerful message from the Word of God. Prayer begins at 6 p.m., followed by service at 7 p.m. in Bethel's main sanctuary, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue. We look forward to seeing you. Come and be blessed.